over the years, we all meet important people in our lives. And some you meet at major crossroads. You've heard about me. You've heard me talking about Robert Hooke, who was the one I knew in high school. And he was the one who really messed up my Sundays because we would spend almost every day together. We'd listen to the classics. We were crazy back then. And he'd go to church Sunday, and I couldn't figure it. And I didn't see the point. I know I'd given up going to churches when I was a kid. Couldn't stand the place. They had a terrible smell about them. Music was dead. You tiptoed in and could hear you could hear a fly zooming by you like a Learjet. Not a sound, and they have a smell. I don't know, how do dead churches get such a dead smell? But they had a smell. And there was one last thing that sent me packing as a young teenager, and that was every Sunday was another story out of the newspaper and another social issue. And I thought, well, I can read that on my own in the paper. I never went back for years till Robert Hooke. I didn't know he went to church. I mean, you meet people in high school, you get to become friends. But every Sunday he'd say, actually Friday, he'd say, come to church with me on Sunday. And I'd say, I believe in God. I pray to God every day, but I'm not coming to church. This carried on. I don't know how long this carried on. Actually, a very long time. It might have gotten into the years. Till finally I said, okay, Robert, I'm making a deal with you. Ask me no more, and I'll come one time. Coming one time on one condition, you never ask me again. He said, fine with me. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to church. All my parents are going to Baptist church. They nearly had a heart attack. Do you know those people are strange? There's something wrong with those people. They're weird. So my parents were very upset. They remained upset till decades. But anyhow, I went with Robert Hooke. And his mother, Olive Reetney Hooke. And the place was packed. I'm following them at a distance, but I was following because I'm their guests. And they kept going forward and kept going forward. And I thought, no, 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 you sit at the back. They kept going forward. And I thought, oh, God. I haven't been this close since I was christened. And what happens this close? On the third row, she turned right, sat down. I sat down, Robert sat down, they put their head down. I don't know what they were doing with their head. I put my head down, I thought, that's what you have to do here. So they said something, so I said something, and I looked up and the service proceeded. That was the first time I've ever been in a church to preach the gospel. And that's where I met Dr. John Porter, and there was that night, having heard the gospel for the first time, that I was converted in the fall of 1965. And this man stood up there, tall man, very dignified man, and he had this a tie pin. I can't remember what it was made of, but it sparkled. I thought, my goodness, what is all of that? I thought, wow. And for the first time in my life, I heard someone speak from the Bible as though he believed it. I'd never heard that much. I got news for you. I had a lot of carnal knowledge where I came from. They didn't believe that thing. It was a social job. He preached from Isaiah. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. I thought, oh, God. Which I remember my dad's bait box, and his dirty, filthy rag, he cleaned his knife on after he'd just cut up sardines to fish. And he wouldn't let my mother, wash that thing. It stayed filthy. I remember that smell. I can still smell it. I thought, there goes my righteousness, just like those filthy rags. He preached the gospel, came to the end of the message, and then I knew halfway through that service that Robert had called up the minister, Dr. Porter, and said to him, we're going to get ourselves a convert tonight. So everybody in the church, pass the word, pray for young Fred. I knew they were all looking at me, and it was just for me, and I was a very upset young man. Of course, they knew nothing, but that was what you do when you're under conviction. You find an out and an excuse. Came to the end of the service, all bow our heads. I didn't know why. I bow my head. Then he gave the gospel and the invitation, you can settle once and for all. Come forward. I thought, good grief, I'd never go forward in a church unless I was in a coffin. I'm too terrified. He gave the invitation. No one gave forward. Under my breath, I'm saying, what do you expect? Who wants to walk in front of a church in front of all those people? He wasn't over with. He said, all right, let's bow our heads again. I thought, okay, what's going to happen now? He said, all right, their heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you believe what I've just said and you want to repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer I'm praying, but make it your own. I thought, I can do that. Now I'm not being drunk. I was a shy little Englishman with about 14,000 demons. Named and unnamed, you know? Yeah. Oh, God. But I believe what he said was true. Yeah. Bowed my head. Amen. Prayed that prayer, and I levitated home and was a dangerous figure there on out to this day.